Welcome along to Desert World Podcast, episode 9! As ever, I'm Greg.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Richard.
This week's podcast, we've been watching playing. We've got some news and we've got a feature at the end. Who can defeat Superman?
It's a team of three. Team of three, take him on.
Yeah, everyone. Resurrection Man. Let's go on
it. We are going to start with reading, watching, playing, as we often do. There are a couple of cool wee things to cover this week. I'm going to go first. I think this time, if that's okay with the chaps.
Right, you can go first.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Yep. That's fine. Okay.
You can do all three if you want.
I've got playing, so I'm going to go with Aether 1. It's on PlayStation Plus. Originally a PC port, or a PC game that's been ported onto the PS4. It's really fucking confusing. It's because it's the point of the game is that it's meant to be like a representation of what it's like for somebody to have their mind start degrading into dementia. It's all about this like sort of cognitive dissonance of how you start to perceive reality. And so the idea around the game is that you're a first person, it's a first person game, and it's like it's loads of optional puzzles that you can take on. It's a futuristic story where you play someone called a Restorer, and it's like for a memory revival company. And what they do is they investigate people's lives when they've started to get mental illnesses and stuff like that, and you can be like projected into their brain to go and look at memories and try and reconstruct memories if they've forgotten something, which is why dementia is such a good topic for it, because obviously that's the complete falling apart of someone's mind. So as this Restorer, you've got like this little hub in this company, and you can transport in and out of this little hub, and you transport into the memories of this 69-year-old woman who is trying desperately to remember things from her life. And it seems like a crazy enough concept, but there's a voiceover that accompanies you through the games as well, kind of like Portal with Gladys talking to you. And it starts to get a little bit more sinister as you start going through the game, and you start thinking to yourself, oh, there might be something going on here with this company. Oh, I wonder if they are good or bad. And it follows that kind of story.
Yeah, okay.
I'm only about halfway through it, and I'm confused as fuck, if I'm being honest.
It's like, it sounds really heavy.
It's pretty heady stuff.
It's
any guns, monsters, no?
No, nothing. There's not even any other people. There's no other people. It's just like, you are the only person in this game. Like, you don't see any other people. You hear other people. Like, you hear one other person, I should say. And all you get for prompts, for piecing together stories, are pieces of paper that are written down. You can pick up pieces of paper and get like a code for a padlock somewhere, and you can get a little bit of backstory about the area that you're in, and it means that you can progress with a puzzle. But there's so many puzzles that you can choose to do them, or you can choose to go right past them and just try to get to the bottom of the story. But you're never given any prompts on whether you are meant to do it or not, which again is a bit of the point of the game. So it's like, it's confusing. It is confusing, but again, that's a reflection of the affliction.
What I'm supposed to do. But I'm confused with that, man. See, when I'm playing games and like I'm walking down like a corridor or that, and I'm like, that's the end right there. But have I done everything? I get that's that whole kind of like, I don't want to go any further.
It's the completionist personality that people have got now through the achievement system and stuff like that. And there's prompts for everything. Like, when I played that game, the teaser trailer, the Silent Hills. There's no prompts in that, and you are totally confused. You don't realise how much you're spoon-fed by games while you're playing them until they take them all away, and you're like, oh.
Absolutely, and that's yet another thing that just totally disorientates you about this game. And again, it's intentional. Like, I've read up a little bit about it, source being Wikipedia. It was some, it might be an IGN or something like that, when they were reviewing it, they picked up on a point where you can pick up items, and there's some puzzles where you have to go and find an item because it's got like something to do with a lock or something like that. And there's this one puzzle at the start of the game where you have to go and find a code on the back of like a metal dinner plate because it's got the code written onto the back of it because nobody's allowed to write down the code for a padlock to get into a certain door, which right. sort of like, it's fair enough, it's a good idea. But you pick up that little plate and you take it away with you and you find it and that's how you get into the next area. But then throughout the game, there's just little bits and pieces that are sitting on like tables and under tables and in cupboards and stuff like that, and they're things that look like they could do something. Like you pick up a key, and I've carried around a key for most of the game so far, and it's not unlocked any doors. So I'm thinking to myself, do I even need this anymore?
Yeah, is that a red setting?
Yeah, so you can like you can transport back into that hub, and you've got a couple of shelves that you can put. There's like three shelves on each unit that hold six items, so you can have like 36 items at a time, and that's another. Another part of the game that makes it really confusing because you start hoarding items.
Would I get rid of stuff like that?
And why did I even take it in the first place? Where did I get this again? Why have I got it? Is there any point in me having this anymore? I probably shouldn't get rid of it because it might be useful for something. And yeah. It just sounds like
a total mind fucker.
It totally fucks you up. And I've got to a point just now where I keep on getting to this one part of the game where you think you're going to progress, and then you get transported to this little room that it seems like there's no escape from, and I can't find a way out of it, even though there's a door. And like it, I don't know if it's just like a bug in the game or something like that, because it did actually crash after trying to
solve it. You wouldn't know that kind of game, would you?
I was like, is this meant? But yeah, it's really, and it's cool. It's a really cool concept and everything like that. And again, one of the sources I read from Wikipedia was from the New Yorker newspaper in New York that said it is a really accurate reflection of how somebody
has dementia.
Does like spiral into dementia. And so you can look at it as a success in that way of reflecting it, but the story doesn't necessarily lend itself to the game sometimes, and it's padded out here and there, and they've had to add little bits in the story to make it seem like a coherent game. But it's if you're well into your puzzles, like you're well into Monkey Island and stuff like that, then yeah, go for it and you'll probably have fun. But if you
clearly it sounds like a rip-roaring occasion.
I mean, yeah, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I've thought it's alright so far.
It just gets
really frustrating though.
It's amazing how gaming's changed the way. A wee fast hedgehog running about, that was like groundbreaking, and now it's like dementia. And,
I don't know.
It sounds quite good. I'm definitely going to play it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I was going to download it before, but hey, I forgot.
Nice.
Oh, dementia joke. Right, I'll go next. Reading again. Remember last time how I said that everything that I've done on this podcast I recommended, and I was going to take something that I wasn't going to recommend?
Yes.
Right? Well, I've been reading Child 44 and I fucking love it. I would recommend it. Oh, I would definitely recommend it. It's to be honest, there's a film out of it as well, and I read like the back of it and what it's about and that, and it sounded really, really heavy. It's set in like Russia in the 1950s. A lot of it is to do with how Russia was back in the day, like how the actual Soviet state ran itself and stuff like that. And basically, one word to describe it is it's corrupt as fuck. And it doesn't get bogged down in that too much. It gives you what you need to know, and that's about it. And it moves on. It's got an actual story behind it as well. Because I was a bit concerned that it was just going to be maybe just like reading like a history textbook.
Yeah,
or whatever,
like
right?
The backdrop would like just.
And it doesn't. It actually lends itself really, really well because it creates tension where there shouldn't be tension. The premise is an agent. He works for the MGB. Oh, by the way, names in this, they're all Russian fucking names, towns, people like that. So I reckon any of the names, right? that's how much I liked it.
The main character, what's his
name? No, the main character's called Leo. I remember that because it's a normal name, right? He works with the MG. I'm sure it's the MGB. Basically, some big fucking police thing.
KGB.
No, it's not the KGB. It's the MGB. I don't know. Right. Anyway, but it's essentially there's these kids are getting murdered all across Russia, but the Russian government are hiding it all. They're trying to put it under the rug. Basically, they have this, and I would almost argue the main character of this book is Russia itself as opposed to the actual character, because basically like Russia was trying to become this big massive superpower that anything that went wrong or anything that happened like that, they'd blame it on the West. If there was somebody who killed somebody, he was a Western spy, he wasn't just a Russian. You couldn't think for yourself. If you deviate away from what like the Soviet says, then that was it. You were done. Like you were in jail or you were executed. And that lends really on this book, because what it does is there's loads and loads of murders, and they're quite obviously murders. They're kids that are getting killed. Jeez. But they can't investigate it, because as soon as you start trying to investigate it, as a policeman, you get arrested for going against the Soviet state. So basically, it's about this guy. It's about the main character Leo, who has a, he's working his way up the chain, if you like, and he's beginning to question the Soviet state. He's beginning to like, he's sweeping these murders under the rug, but he's kind of thinking there's more to this. But he can't question it out loud, because if he does, he's done. He's finished. And it's basically like, without giving much away, he becomes a fugitive, if you like, and then tries to solve these murders himself. But the whole time, every time he asks somebody a question, that person can't answer that question. If they do, like, they'll get put in jail. It's so crazy, like, the amount of stuff happens in it. And it actually is quite historically accurate as well. Like, and some of the stats it gives you are ridiculous. Like, if you were a homosexual in Russia, you were executed. There was no trial or anything like that. Like, you were executed. And they're rather than being innocent to proven guilty, you're guilty and that's it. Like, you get arrested and they won't even try and find you innocent, they'll just put you in jail or they'll murder you or they'll execute you. It's so mental, like the stuff that's in it is so good. And it's one of those things where it's like, we could be sitting in this room and you could say something that like, oh, I don't like something, and I could be like, oh, aye. I'd phone the police and be like, by the way, he said that, they'd come into your house and just arrest you. Aye, and kill your family. Man. That's it.
That's crazy.
But it's so good, man, because it leads to tension like so much, because he's like, oh, walking along like, just walking along the path to the fucking train station, and like someone's looking at him, and he's like, they're going to, and all that sort of stuff. He's like, that anyone could tell on you, and there's no evidence needed. Basically, if someone just says, oh yeah, I think so and so is doing this, they go, like, cool, let's arrest them, let's put them in jail. It's absolutely mental.
It's a simpler time,
eh? Yeah, oh man, yeah. It's ridiculous. And the thing was, I've talked about this before, the book that I've got, it's got the front cover of the film, it's got Tom Hardy, Gary Oldman in it, and I reckon that is.
I don't recognise her.
Some lassie?
Just
some lassie.
Just her.
Aye. And I was annoyed when I read The Maze Runner with this, because when I pictured the character in my head, all I seen was the actors. Mm. Because of the kind of fucking names in this book, I don't care who it is.
Don't you relate to them? Like the actors, you don't relate their faces or the voices?
I'm assuming Tom Hardy's the main guy, makes sense, right? I can see him in my head, but everyone else was just like, I made them up in my head, if that makes sense. And I enjoy books better like that, rather than saying like, oh, it looks like this. Do you know what I mean? It's like a picture of someone, so bit.
Yeah.
But man, it's actually, I didn't know this, but it's a trilogy.
Well, there you go, you've got some cheery reading ahead.
Aye, I know. I put the second one in my bag, I started reading it this morning. The second one is a bit more heavy into this whole Russian background, kind of telling you about the state and that, to the extent where I kind of fell asleep on the bus reading it, because it's pretty heavy. Like, after you've been working like all day, and you get on there and you're like, oh, I've read some books, and it's just basically like, Russia was evil, blah blah, you're like, oh, okay.
If there's like a few pages of that, you'd be like, man, I'm not reading a textbook, man. I'm reading some fictional stuff.
But in saying
fuck
that, man,
shit, yeah.
it's actually really, really, really enjoyable. Like I really liked it. I mean, the story itself is good. It would work anyway, like out with the whole Russian setting. Mm. But because it's the Russian setting, because it's so brutal, like, I mean, stuff happens in it, you're just like, this is ridiculous. Insane. Like, it's absolutely insane. Like, if it happened over here, right, they were like, oh, it's been two kids murdered, they'd be like, okay, fucking full-blown investigation, right, who done it? Whereas in Russia, it's just like, nah, it's just going to arrest folk. Let's just kill some gays. Oh, well, that's pretty much it. That's what they did. It's weird.
Cool. Well, there you go.
So, yeah, buy it. It's good.
So I recommend it.
Yeah, it's been a very cheesy section again, so far. Dementia, yeah. Trail killing.
Tommy, go for the hat trick.
People eating. Is that...
People eating what?
People being eaten.
People being
eaten.
Oh,
right. Okay.
I would say cannibalism, but not being eaten by other people.
That's not cannibalism.
That's why I never said it.
Alright.
Attack on Titan.
You texted about this. On Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
It's an anime based on a manga.
Based on?
Some guy's ideas.
Alright, okay. Okay, I'm good at this bit. I'm doing well.
And it's really, 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 really good. Highly recommend it.
Is it a film or a TV show?
It's, you know what it is? It's a TV show, and there's little kind of 24 minute episodes, on Netflix, but there's like 22 or something, or 23 in the first season. But it started off life as a manga comic, and now they're going to maybe do a live action feature of it and stuff, which is, it's just been kind of gradually picking up momentum and getting more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll probably be computer games or whatever else after.
There is.
Is it already?
It's on 3DS, I think. They're going to be making an Attack on Titan game, I'm fairly certain.
All right, cool.
Okay.
That sounds good. But like, I watch a lot of like the anime stuff. Do you guys watch?
I watched the first few episodes of that, actually. I think I watched about maybe 6 or 7, and I got to the point where it was one of the kid in it, the main character, has like this, it's like a suit of some sort, and he can't really get it right. They have to balance in this suit, and I kind of lost interest a little bit there. But the first few episodes were quality. Like, is the premise being.
The premise is basically, civilization has been cut down to a fraction of what it used to be. So, because these giants have been roaming the earth for a hundred years or something like that, and have been eating people, just basically roaming and eating people.
All right.
So basically, civilization is now consists of three cities inside like one giant circle, basically, and there's another two walls of this circle. Like concentric circles. So it's like the higher ups or royalty are in the middle, in the first kind of wall. Walls are big enough to keep the giants out.
Right.
And then you've got like the kind of, I don't know, middle class, and then you've got the poor after that. And basically, you're in with the people on the kind of front wall. And they've been living there. This is their life. They live life behind the wall. They don't know what life's like outside the wall. They just know the Titans are out there. The giants are called Titans in the show. And then the world kind of gets turned upside down. It's difficult to talk about it without giving anything away.
The first episode really sets the tone for it.
It's bonkers. It's really bonkers.
Yeah, it's that. There's a scene in it at the end of the first episode, which is just kind of. It sets up why the kid really wants to get revenge on these Titans, and he's just hell bent on it. And that whole like last 5 minutes of that episode's quality, and that's what kept me interested for those like 6 or 7 episodes. And I haven't really watched that much since, but it's good.
It goes through it's like peaks and troughs. So the first episode totally gets you hooked, and then it goes down a bit, and then they pick it back up. It's just like any kind of TV show, really. But it's written like really well, and the characters are really, really strong and relatable. And the art style is fantastic. It just is right across the board. And I watched it. One of the problems I have with like anime stuff sometimes is if it's only in subtitles, I can't always be bothered to watch it, because it means I've got to sit and I've got to read.
But
you know, it's like it's off-putting, man. You know, it's like you're doing two things instead.
Imagine
just
reading.
I don't
know
exactly
pictures at the same time.
Plus, because it's animation,
I don't come here to fucking read.
Because it's like animation, you wanna watch it,
and it's
distracting. You know, it's not just like a kind of
spawn. Yeah,
it's not like a.
I read like a spaz as well, man. So I'm like, by the time I've actually read the sentence, it's gone.
Yeah, but the dubbed version on like it's perfect, it's brilliant, it's really well voice acted, the dubbed version. So sometimes you can get dubbed versions and they're like just
shite.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Is it one of those things where it's like they speak English and then the mouths keep moving because the sort of the Japanese or Chinese version has been like
it's like that.
We must go. Alright, okay, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
But you watch it and you just don't know where it's going like the whole time.
Finished? Oh, it's
still one. No, it's the end of the first season. I don't think they've done a second season yet. There's like 6 series in the manga, so
cool.
Which I've never read, so I don't know. I mean, I'm quite happy now just to sit back and wait for the next animated season.
Yeah.
No. But it's as good. It's high quality television. It's as good as any other kind of real TV show that you'd watch.
Real TV show.
Not the drawn one.
Bloody cartoons.
But yeah, awesome.
Right. Okay. Cool. 3. Fairly strong recommendations, I would say. There,
we always recommend stuff.
I know. Right, next week we have to focus on stuff we've done recently in our shite.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to watch Attack on Titan and be like, shite.
I'm going to read Child 44. Right, okay, get it down.
That's countdown. But this is the news.
That's a strong start. It's a strong start. Countdown. If you can't do news flash sounds, countdown. It's a fucking winner.
I just like to throw the occasional curveball.
I like
just to make sure people are listening.
Yeah, well, we definitely were. Oh, definitely. And now that we've got your attention, news. Does anyone want to start first with the news? Or shall I? Right, I'll just run straight in. I'm going to start with a TV related one. It's Harry Shearer leaving The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So The Simpsons has just been renewed for a 26th and 27th season, and Harry Shearer, one of the main voice cast, who he provides a lot of like secondary tier character voices, but there's a lot of really good ones. I've got a list here. All of these voices, The Simpsons creators have said that they're going to try and recast these voices rather than just get rid of the characters or just ignore them. But these are the ones they would have to recast: Mr. Burns, Smithers, Otto Mann, Kent Brockman, Principal Skinner, Ned Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy, Dr. Hibbert, Lenny Leonard, Scratchy, Rainer Wolf Classel, Slash McBain, Jasper, Kang, and various others. There was one
he
other.
He pretty much does them all.
He does a lot. He did another guy called Hugh Jass that was Hugh in Jass. An episode called Flame and Rose. Yeah, it was just like when Bart gets his prank wrong and Hugh Jass actually answers the phone. Yeah. But that's a lot of characters to just cut out of the show or try and recast, even if it is getting the talent.
The thing is, now that it's been like highlighted, even if they do manage to recast it, you will watch it. Even if the voice is off just by a little bit, you'll be like, it's not the same voice, it's not the same character. I think I'll lose something, man, if they recast it.
It's kind of like when Mark Hamill stopped doing the Joker's voice. And was it Troy Baker that got the Joker for Arkham Origins?
The most recent Arkham film,
I mean, he did
film game.
He did alright at it, but you could definitely tell that it wasn't Mark Hamill. And for me, like, I'm a massive Simpsons fan from the first series to about the ninth, and then just ignored it till the Simpsons film, and then all the episodes after the Simpsons film have been pretty good. But it kind of feels like that this should be the beginning of the end.
I wouldn't say that, is it? Like, did it die out?
It kind of feels that, because
something not happen similar with Futurama? Did all the cast of Futurama not try and walk out or leave?
They got cancelled. Like, the network didn't pick it up. And for Futurama as well, like, the last...
So was Futurama dead?
It's done.
Oh, right.
The last season of Futurama is hilarious as well.
Futurama's a funny show, man.
It's really funny. Really, a lot of really... just really good jokes. Like, you know, like, smart humour and, like, just total nerdy... Like, even maths humour and stuff like that. I'm not, like, a math dope, but I would imagine there's, like, loads of really geeky math fans out there who just want to relate to something, and then they find, like, a maths joke on Futurama. Yeah,
I can vouch for how his maths is shocking.
It's rubbish.
His maths is shocking.
it's a bit of a shame that they have to... That Harry Shearer's left, but you know.
Did they say why he's left?
There's not been a concrete answer. I think it's he's put out tweets and stuff like that and said it's about moving on and being able to do things other than The Simpsons, because there's probably a lot of contractual obligations that Harry Shearer maybe had to meet. And because he's doing those secondary characters though, but he might have been tied down to just come in for like an hour on a week where he's meant to be filming a TV show or something like that.
Yeah, but
just,
what else do you want? He's a voice in The Simpsons. Like, that's
he's all of those
that's
voices.
That's what I mean, that's a ridiculously good job. And surely you can only go down for there. You can't...
Well,
It should be really difficult to replace him because he does so many voices. They'll never get one other person who will be able to do all those voices.
Well, exactly.
So there's going to be multiple people that they're going to have to rehire.
Yeah.
To kind of cover all those voices, and like you say, as soon as you'll know straight away, you'll be like, well, it's quite a good impression, but it's not the same.
That's not it. Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yes, cheer up. Who's going to cheer it up?
I don't have news that's cheery.
Well, you can keep going with the sadness, as I believe Constantine has a bit of news.
Yes, the Constantine show has been cancelled a few weeks ago.
I'll tell you why.
Go on then.
Have you seen it, Richard?
I haven't.
Not any of that.
Maybe that's what the guys who made it thought to themselves, if the Desert Whales, if
most of the Desert Whales have seen it.
If they haven't seen it and they haven't been talking about it, what's the fucking point? What's the point?
Yeah, well, I've seen it and I've talked about it.
Oh no, you did talk about it, actually. You recommended it.
On this very podcast at some point in the past.
You did. You did. You had a pretty glowing review of it.
Yeah, it was really good. I thought it was like, well, I still think it's really, really good. Now that, like, post Daredevil, now I've watched Daredevil, I'm like, oh man, that's like, that's the peak. Like, that's the best superhero TV show I've ever seen in my life. But it was still really, really good. Still pretty damn good. I feel like kind of rushed it. The season finale seemed a bit it was a cliffhanger, but I was like, I didn't really buy it, but I understood why they did it, because
did they maybe feel like it was going to be cancelled anyway?
Yeah, yeah, like they kind of felt like, oh, it's kind of think of something, or I don't know, it didn't seem planned anyway, the season finale.
There's rumours of it, the guys that make Arrow are trying to save it.
That's squashed now. It's not happening because they've missed the window. I think.
I'm talking about a crossover on that and making it, but it was quite funny because I seen a photo from some Comic Con. It was the four guys, get plays Arrow, get plays Flash, get plays Commissioner Gordon, and get plays Constantine, and they were all kind of posing. And I was looking at them and being like, right, get plays Constantine looks alright. And I was like, I still now think that Gotham is shite.
It is.
And I can't understand why that's still on. That's been renewed, I think.
Do you know what it is? It's the character association, I would say. But a lot of people know.
Do you think
Gotham
as well? Is it because Gotham's on Channel 5 and I've not watched Constantine? It was on like Amazon Prime TV or something.
I don't know if America really takes ratings out with America that seriously.
Nah, I wouldn't imagine it does.
Just because the character's British. They're racist. Not really, I'm just making that up.
Yeah, let's hope they're not.
let's really hope they're not, yeah.
But Gotham, you know. My dad watches Gotham because he likes Batman and he thinks it's brilliant.
There you go. And the character, so but Batman's even in it. Like, you know, it's well.
Yeah, I've heard this. No, I've never watched it.
this crap. Like, I watched it and I really wanted to like it. It's one of those shows where I watched like four episodes and I was just like, just keep telling yourself you like it. You're like, I didn't. It's crap.
There you go.
The acting's shocking. I mean, the guy who plays Gordon, it's the worst thing about that show.
He's too moody and a bit. Just before the next piece of news, really tiny snippet here. Scrolling through Twitter recently, I saw Seth Rogen put up a picture, hashtagged it Preacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So get yourself on his Twitter to have a look at that or look up. Anyway, next piece of news, Greg.
A little bit of news. I haven't got much news on it, but this made me quite happy. Samuel L. Jackson is remaking The Blob. Now, this makes me happy because I've seen The Blob when I was like 4 or 5 or something like that, and it's just I'm not a fan of movies that are so bad they're good, right? I don't buy into that. I don't get the whole kind of like, oh, it's so badly made, it's funny. I'm like, nah, it's shite.
It's shite. But it could have been used that money a lot better.
Exactly. But The Blob, I think it was made in like 55, the version I've seen, man, and it is literally like it's people get eaten by jam. Essentially, it's like a big blob of jam that goes about and slowly, really slowly eats folk. It's a B movie, it's a total B movie. But for me, I think the Samuel L. Jackson in it as well, I think they know it's going to be a B movie. And for me, this gets me excited. Like Snakes on a Plane got folk excited,
mm-hmm.
Right?
There's another one that's out just now that's a similar
story. Oh, Big Game.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Aye, see, they're
about to be utter trash.
Aye.
Like, but good.
Yeah.
Trash.
No, but not good trash. Shite trash. But The Blob, if they remake The Blob, man, be all over it. Apparently it was meant to be Rob Zombie that was directing it, but he then left because he got angry that all his films were remakes, and he got angry that they kept getting compared to originals, and I was like, well, that's what happens when you make a remake.
Yeah, is A House of 1,000 Corpses a remake?
No, I don't think.
No, I think it was more to do with like his Halloween films.
Alright.
But yeah, so he left, and there's... I looked at the new guy's taking over and I can't remember what he made, but he's made some pretty shite films. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
So is Samuel L. Jackson starring in it, not making it?
Yes. Did I say making it?
Right.
I meant starring.
I would imagine that's a headline that so many people have wanted to read for so long.
Samuel L. Jackson remaking The Blob. I don't even know what's happening. It's just all sort of rumour at the moment, but I'm buzzing for it. I'll be the only person that goes and sees it.
Just
we'll have a Desert Wales podcast special with The Blob.
Greg will be on his
own. Do you want your own time? Crossbones pictures have surfaced, and Crossbones himself looks a bit meh.
Crossbones, one of the villains from Captain America's third film, which is due out next summer.
Next summer, yeah. I believe it's next summer.
Yeah.
Frank Grillo again.
Yeah.
Playing him,
I like him. I like him a lot.
I think taking the opportunity to Greg, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was just going to ask. He's in Civil War, obviously, but
yeah,
Crossbones isn't in Civil War.
The thing is with the Civil War. So I reckon now that Civil War is going to be an adaptation of
this, like a reimagination of
even just taking the ideas from it, because there's no way they're going to be able to fit that all that in like a single film, what with everything that happens in it. But that, I was actually going to just use Crossbones Pictures as a launching point to bring this to everyone's attention. Like Chris Evans plays Captain America. He's only actually got two films left on his Marvel deal. One of them is Civil War.
So the next one's going to be Avengers 3, Infinity Wars, and then
Part 1 or 2?
Part 1, and then bye-bye, Big Cap.
Oh. Is that the way you would end it?
I always suspected.
Yeah, man.
I don't think I would.
I would start it with that.
Just Captain America's taking his first breath. Oh no, Captain America's dead.
I always suspected they would kill Captain America.
Same.
At the end of the kind of... Well, not his picture deal or anything like that, but no one of any real consequence out of the heroes has died yet, and to make it like
gonna have to have someone.
Someone's got to die, and who better than Captain America? You know, the truth, justice, and American way. You know, the guy who's the best out of anybody, the person with the highest morals.
Absolutely, and I was talking about this with a friend the other night, and I wouldn't be take the opportunity at the end of Civil War to say like that's Cap. Kaput, that's him done, and then say like, oh cool, Bucky Barnes aka Winter Soldier can take up the mantle as they did.
He doesn't necessarily have to die though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like you could take the opportunity to say like, right, okay, well, oh no, Cap's dead at the end of Civil War, what are they ever going to do? Right, okay, Winter Soldier can step up and take the mantle, and then bring him back for a glorious return in second part of the Infinity Wars, and that could be like the team could be like falling apart. Who do they always need to bring him back together? It's Cap.
That's a good idea.
That's
even better if he sacrifices himself at the end as well, and he's like the ultimate martyr. I mean, there's not a better character than the stable of characters.
Man,
that's it.
They should fuck everyone up, but by having the end of like Civil War, just Cap just hangs himself. Why?
No.
And then it just fades to black, and you have all these kids sitting around, and we're like, "Oh my god!" And like everyone leaves with a little bit of taste in their mouth.
You know what I think about as well. You know how popular these movies are now, the superhero movies for kids and for everyone across the world. If Captain America dies, like, it would have the same kind of impact on teeny boppers as like
Darth Vader.
Your favorite boy band fucking splitting up.
I have a favourite boy band.
Not your favourite boy band. Because they're still together.
It's only one of them that left.
Oh, all right, okay.
But you know what I mean? If you're growing up, if you're now a teeny bopper and you've kind of grown up watching these films and you see one of your heroes die on the silver screen, like...
Oh, that's true.
Gotten in it. So.
It would be absolutely gotten.
Yeah. I would say, like, controversial maybe, he's... potentially not the most popular. Like if you have a conversation with a casual fan, it's always like Iron Man or Hulk. It'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
But Cap is a brilliant character, and man, it'd be pretty heartbreaking if he did. Well, like, presumably he will kick the bucket at some point in the next three films that he'll be in. But if he gets cast for Infinity Wars Part 1, then that's it for him. Like, unless he signs an extension or something like that.
It could be.
I'm sure if they want him, they'll get him.
I was going to say, there could be one of these things where they just put that out there and.
He's only got
two films left, but then he appears in the third one. They could just.
Yeah.
Did they do something like that with.
With Robert Downey Jr. had like so many films and he appeared in all the.
That's right.
And he was like, I don't know if I want to do it anymore.
Of course, you're the best shit in the world.
hint.
How's the Marvel Universe, right, cinematic universe, is it going to end?
Well, this is what this is a really good point. It might, that raft of characters seems like it should end after Infinity Wars Part 2, doesn't it?
But then
it really does, and then it'll be, 10 years? It'll be like a 10-year stretch of the same kind of universe.
Yeah, what are you going to do after all of those characters that have been established?
You've built them up, and then it's got to end somewhere so that you can start again.
That would be the most respectable thing that Marvel could do. Marvel could end it, and then that's it. But then what would be the point? in all of the other films that are coming into it, because is Infinity Wars Part 2 the last in that time scale of films? Because if it is, they might play an absolute blinder and just have every single character that they've put up a film for, you know, Infinity Wars Part 2. But if there's films that are scheduled to come out after that, then
I don't want it to die out. I don't want it to like have the big Avengers movies and then they start releasing other films of like sort of smaller characters and folks start losing interest and it kind of just peters out, because that would be amazing.
I don't think that's going to happen now. Because it's such a big moneymaker, I think it's firmly cemented as a subgenre of film. You get superhero film, you get action film, you get mystery thriller, you get whatever. I think they've always kind of been around, but they've not been as big as they have been in previous years.
It's because they used to be jobby, though.
Yeah, well,
the majority of them used to be pretty bad.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And then the quality might slip a bit, and the money might, there might not be as much money in it anymore, but it's always going to be around now. It's like,
the amount of money that Marvel and DC will be making, they can probably afford to just make a piece of shit film every now and again, and it'll still be really well made. It maybe just won't be as strong as the films that have been out for the last 10 years or however long it's been. The Crossbones anyway looks a bit like Iron Man
I don't know how big a role he's going to play.
Crossbones.
I don't think he's going to play that big a role in it.
Well, he could do it again if it's a reimagining of Civil War. Maybe he will, and if it's not, maybe he won't. You know, I just thought it was quite cool to see a picture of him. It's always quite cool to see these.
Kind of what they should do for Civil War, because kind of obviously like spoilers, but kind of the villains come back into it a little bit, and so what, the villains play a part in it. They should bring back villains from like the previous Marvel movies, isn't it? They should bring back like Mandarin. They should bring back like Quiplash. Even though one of the greatest.
He was rubbish.
No, but one of the greatest baddies.
Who was rubbish?
Whiplash.
No, but at least put villains that folk know and they can put ties with the movies together.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
I guess. Because like, if they start just like, I think Crossbones is going to basically represent all the villains that were in the Civil War story.
You might well do. There you go. Are there any other pieces of news that anyone would like to go on? Tommy, have you got another piece? Greg, have you got another?
I have got something else, but I'd rather not do it quickly.
Right, okay.
Well, we can.
All right. I should
have
off my
plate,
sorry.
You dirty boy.
Nah, dirty bastard, yeah.
It's been announced that Frank Miller, the comics writer, is returning for a third Dark Knight story. The Dark Knight Returns, the best single Batman graphic novel that's ever been printed in 1986 or whenever it was. Peerless. Absolutely peerless. 15 years later, then it's the Dark Knight Strikes Again. It's not as good. It's not anywhere near as good, but it's not the same. It's in the same universe, but you can't put them side by side and compare them, because it just doesn't work. Now, another 15 years later is present day now. Mm-hmm. Frank Miller's returning. He's going to write it again. It's the third, concludes the trilogy, is how they're marketing it, which is fucking total bullshit. It was never made in the first place, but it's trilogy mania.
Trilogy,
yeah. Everything's trilogies now, yeah. But is the third part going to be in two parts, as is the theme now as well?
I don't know. I mean, it'll be a miniseries, probably a maxi issue miniseries of 4 or 5 or 6. I don't know. There's too light on the details just now, but it's Frank Miller and another guy called Brian Azzarello who are writing it, and Brian Azzarello's like a shit hot writer, like he's really good. And a guy, David Finch, is going to be doing the pencil work, and other than that, there's no other details. In fact, even the promotional image, that is just like two older images that they've kind of photoshopped together.
Is that the one of Superman and Batman on a hill, or am I thinking of something?
That's an older one. That's from the first Dark Knight.
Oh, right.
The Dark Knight Returns. But yeah, it's basically another Batman. It's called The Master Race, and it's meant to be another Batman versus Superman story. It's kind of cashing in.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because of the Batman versus Superman film that's coming out. Mm. And I don't know how much involvement Frank Miller's actually going to have on this, other than
he'll just sign it off.
And I think the guy Azzarello will write it, and obviously he's not drawing it either because he drew the first two. So Frank Miller's stuff's a bit rubbish these days. It was great in his prime in the 80s and stuff, but
I don't know how I feel about you. I know it's meant to be the best Batman.
What, the first one?
Story, aye.
That's the best one. Well, you like Year One? That was Frank Miller.
I like Year One, yeah, I know. That's Frank Miller. But I like Year One.
Trouble in Paradise, eh?
That is Trouble in Paradise.
Shall we move on
deflated.
Then?
I'm deflating.
Right, we'll leave tension in the air as I ding this out. A feature now that we didn't come up with ourselves, we saw that as a picture on Twitter, but it's an interesting piece of theorising, I guess you could call it.
Theorising.
So it was a picture that came up, I don't know, people might have already seen it, it's an image of like an evil looking Superman, and basically what you have to do is come up with a team of three superheroes to defeat a bloodlusting, fully powered Superman. And we've taken on that challenge, and we are about to deliver some knowledge.
Some knowledge.
So,
we picked heroes from any universe, though, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's right.
Aye. Who wants to go first?
I'm cool.
Right. I'll do it then.
Right. Okay. So, as Greg says, this is from any universe. This
any universe, any universe whatsoever. I think mine's are all DC though.
Spans okay. Marvel, DC, anything out with that. Bloody bloody bad. Greg.
Number one, Resurrection Man. Right?
Guess starting with the big guns. Well, starting with the big guns.
Well, I thought I'd play my reserves first, getting like my,
oh, right,
my
okay,
collateral
so.
Damage, if you like. Get him in.
A cut first round.
Resurrection Man, I'll tell you why. Resurrection Man doesn't have the ability to die. He can't die. Right? And every time he does die, he just comes back with a new superpower. Just a random power. Over and over again. In my head, I think this concept's actually genius, but really, really simple. And the reason I'm going to use him is because imagine this battle went on for years and years and years. Can you imagine how annoying that would be? Just killing him, comes back. Killing him, comes back. Killing him, comes back. Killing him.
Do you think Superman would eventually get annoyed?
Aye, I think Superman would eventually get annoyed and kill himself.
Also, okay. It's like playing the long game.
or he could just fly away to another planet.
He's like, I'm.
What would happen is Resurrection Man would keep killing himself over and over again until he got the power of flight and then just follow him.
In that case. Yeah, but what if that's like 2 weeks later?
How long would that be? That's Superman on his holidays, right? He's got 2 weeks of fucking peace, and all of a sudden, boom, Resurrection Man's like, remember me. He's like, fuck.
He just say what? He like keeps on putting his fingers in his drink or something like that. He's like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You going to kill me?
The only way around it would be to not kill him.
Just let him be annoying forever.
Just kill himself.
Put him in the Phantom Zone.
But just kill him.
Oh, no. That's what Superman would do.
There you go.
Fuck you.
But he's bloodlusted, so he probably wouldn't think of
it. Ah, he's bloodlusted, eh? That's what I thought. I thought he's bloodlusted. So just kill him. So yeah, okay, that's my first one. Second one is Shazam. Because Shazam is essentially Superman.
He's just
going to be his equal. The only thing that Superman could do is wait for him to transform back into a wee boy and then bugger him, and that would be.
Whoa.
I don't mean bugger him like that.
Okay. Well, how did you mean it?
I just meant kill him, man.
All right, yeah.
Not some sort of like. Chuck
so did Richard.
Yeah, me too.
So you've got Shazam getting buggered. You've got Resurrection Man just being a fucking nuisance, and then when Superman's really agitated and being like, "Ah, this is a fucking pain in the ass," then Doctor Manhattan for the Watchmen comes along and basically goes, "Enough of your pish," and just kills him, kills all three of them.
I mean, then Resurrection Man,
Resurrection Man comes back.
So then not Dr. Manhattan ends up killing himself.
Yeah, so the real winner here is Resurrection Man. Resurrection Man is the winner.
Right, okay, so where did you first hear about Resurrection Man?
I read some of the New 52 stuff for Resurrection Man, and it was so good it got
canceled. Has he actually got his... He's got his own series.
He did.
That ironically has died now.
Aye, yeah. They come back. Yeah.
There you go.
I think he's in a couple other things as well. I think I could be wrong, but I think he makes a brief appearance in maybe Swamp Thing and Justice League Dark. He's in something anyway. Right. He has been used in something else, but very, very small doses, if you like. But that's because he's not that popular.
You know what's interesting? It came out in the 90s. And they reckoned it was ahead of its time.
Resurrection Man.
So they bring them back out, and they still got cancelled.
Do you know what, man? I think the concept's brilliant. Like, I think the concept, it's so... I think it could be very well using like a sort of humorous background. Obviously a guy keeps getting random powers because he could have anything. Like his powers could be so bad. It could take him weeks to find out what his power is. Maybe like he can shite out gold.
That's amazing. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Maybe he doesn't realise. I think it's a great concept for a hero.
That's amazing.
That's like
it's a good idea, definitely.
But yeah, so what about you guys? Who are you guys taking? Because I think my case is quite strong. I've even given you my plan how to defeat Superman.
Yeah, I think I've got the underdogs, to be honest.
I think because we've heard who your superheroes are going to be, I think yours should be main event, because you got a lot of explaining to do.
Okay, you do have cool. A lot of explaining.
So I'm going to go with a duo up front to take Superman out. They're going to distract him. I've got Thor, match him for power, has sort of like kind of magical powers, and just take the fight to him, wear him down. Doctor Strange comes in.
Yeah.
He can provide more magic, maybe create some sort of illusion, and then Dr. Charles Xavier gets into Superman's head, and while he's messing with Superman's head, you could have Doctor Strange creating some sort of illusion in Superman's head and somehow get Superman just to lie down on the ground, and then all Thor has to do is
smack him in the face.
Just to basically emulate what you would do with a carnival test of strength hammer and just smash Mjolnir on his face and kill him. And that's...
What a brutal way.
Telepathy's a good one, because there's no defences against it.
Against telepathy.
Well, that's a good one. And he's meant to be pretty weak against magic as well. It's like one of his natural weaknesses. Like, kind of like Kryptonite, but not as overplayed Kryptonite, which is in everything. But cool, man. Well,
there you go. So that's my team. My three.
It's not a bad shirt.
Cool.
Wasn't mine, it was Steph's. Thanks, Steph.
Right, my team is Rogue from the X-Men from Marvel Universe. I don't know why you're laughing, but anyway, okay. Martian Manhunter from DC.
Ah, that's a good shout, okay.
And Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman from the Fantastic Four from Marvel.
Right.
There you are, gentlemen.
I think your team will get smashed.
Tell us why first.
Right, okay, well, Rogue's a good choice because, well, she's already got super strength and flight. She's not on the same level as Superman, but she can steal powers.
Right, okay.
Skin on skin contact, she can steal powers. So, and as she becomes more powerful, it drains Superman.
Yeah. Aye.
That's just the powers. If she gets a really good grip of him, she could drain his life force from him.
She needs to get near him, though.
Well, they have to fight each other. He's not going to know that she can do that.
Superman can just shoot out of his eyes.
Aye, but he's not going to
do that,
though. Aye, well, she's kind of invulnerable, and she's got super strength, and she's got flight, so it's not like she can appear, and if he does do that, she's out of the game. She's still in the fight.
No, that's not a bad shot.
Well, that's fair, yeah, fair. So he could, well, Rogue again.
It's not Rogue, from the movies, because she's...
Shite.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't really know a lot about Rogue from the comics, so there you go, fair enough. Good show.
She got boobs.
Oh yeah,
she has got boobs.
That's aye, cool. Right, okay.
Invisible Woman.
Right, okay. This is where you're going to have to do some splaining. Right, okay.
You got some splaining to do.
Right. Well, in the comics.
No, don't draw. Tell us what.
I mean, I'm going to draw you a picture.
that was for good podcast material, as always. Right, okay.
Right, she's a natural leader. Our force fields are nearly indestructible.
Right.
Okay, so purely from a defensive standpoint, she's got like amazing powers. She can use them to contain Superman, or she can use them to protect herself or the rest of her team.
Mm-hmm.
They're invisible, so you can't see them.
Right, okay.
Right.
Why are you laughing about that?
Because I thought somebody was going to be like, oh, she can turn herself invisible. That's her only power, but it's not. Well, she can do that.
Oh, yeah, no, well, there you go. That obviously says a lot about us.
Can she turn other people invisible?
She can touch other people. Well, she can turn them invisible without touching them.
Well, then like, just turn Rogue invisible.
Yeah, turn the whole team invisible. Why not? Yeah.
Well, because of the way he sees with his different visions and stuff, he could probably still see them. To be fair,
he's got X-ray vision. So the old super.
He's going to pump them like.
He's not going to
pump them.
And on offensive, in the way that her powers work, she can create like little bubbles. So imagine she makes a little bubble inside your head, like a little tiny marble one, and then she expands it out. Your head to go pop, like that.
Like that.
Now, that might not happen with Superman because he's of his physiology and the way that he's built, but it would still cause a major hassle.
Cause it major hassle.
Give him a wee headache.
I guess, more than that, man.
Migraine.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because Martian Manhunter could pretty much just do this one.
Aye, Martian Manhunter is a badass.
Because he's got super strength and to rival Superman's. He's got Martian vision.
Martian.
What the fuck? Part of their mind rounds, what is Martian vision?
He just has eye blasts.
So right.
But they're not called heat vision and they're red, so they get called Martian vision.
It's like conjunctivitis.
Right, okay.
On top of that, obviously he can fly. He can go intangible, so he can become ghost-like.
Yeah.
And he can shapeshift into different animals, creatures, or whatever he wants, people. And he's got telepathy, so he can mind fuck him. But he has absolutely no defence against Superman's no defence against telepathy.
There you go. So we both got telepathy in our team.
The question should really be, how do you stop a bloodlust Martian Manhunter? Really?
That's the next one. That's really cool. That's a good idea.
Fuck it. Yeah. That'd be ridiculous. Well, Dr. Manhattan, basically.
Dr. Manhattan, yeah. How do you stop Dr. Manhattan?
Do you know what this section should actually be? Is just, why is Superman so highly regarded when he's actually just average?
He's not average though, is he?
Well, we've just come up with three teams that could probably pump him, so. And we've come up with the power that you could just let, you know, Martian Manhunter telepathy, Xavier telepathy, Dr. Manhattan could just squish him.
Dr. Manhattan could just do whatever he wants, eh?
Yeah, he could just turn him into, like, just
Martian
all flowers and anything he wants.
Yeah, and eat him.
And sell him.
Sell him on eBay.
No, that's a good point, actually. So why is he? It's because he's the main guy, isn't he? He's Billy Big Boss of the.
Well, you put three. You can make a team of three, and those three can take him down. But one on one, how many people are quite as powerful as him? There's quite a few villains that are as powerful as him. But
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter's underrated in the comics. He gets played down because, well, before the New 52, he's more mild-mannered and he's the heart and soul of the Justice League and he's the glue that keeps everyone together. And he's not a pacifist, but he doesn't resort to violence in the first instance. But he could run over the top of it.
Do you think maybe they know that else? they recognise that and think, fuck, let's just not use him because he's a bit too powerful.
That could be what it is. They've put all their eggs in one basket with Superman and just said, he's the best! And then someone's coming along and said, no, I'm going to make someone better. Shut up, you. Superman's the best. Superman.
So, okay, well, this is quite quickly, who do you think? If you say Superman dies, right? There's these different Supermen in different universities. They all get killed by our team. Out of the two teams, who would win?
Oh.
My team, obviously.
No, I don't agree with that. You've got two birds on your team. That's not a sexist comment. Before anyone starts.
I might just step out of this one because I'm not sure. I'm gonna try my hand in the ring. Who's gonna be doing the fighting from each team? Thor versus Martian Manhunter versus Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan's pretty much.
He's pretty much a god, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he can do anything. Dr. Manhattan's taking a back seat. I'm thinking putting Resurrection Man in there. Like fucking Resi Man. I'll play the long game on this, but he will. It'll take years and years, but he will win.
Well, he might not win. He wouldn't be able to win if
he goes crazy. He can't fight anymore.
Or if I got Thor, put him in a big jail cell out in Asgard. He's in another dimension out of the game.
No, but then what happens if he just starves himself and dies and just goes back?
But what if he put him in restraints and then force feed him?
What?
If you put him in restraints so he can't kill himself and then force feed him.
That's a good idea, actually, aye.
And where does he respawn?
Well, then in that case, I'll get Dr. Manhattan and be like, go and help him out, mate, because he's a bit fucked. So if Dr. Manhattan will come along and be like, right, come here.
Come on. Right, okay.
Actually, I don't know if your team would win, because Dr. Manhattan's, even though he's got godlike powers, he's still got a mind, so he's still susceptible to telepathy from Professor X or
Marshall Manor.
That's true.
We should really get back to this later on.
I would tip over Professor X's wheelchair. It'd be fucked.
add that string to your bow. You don't like disabled people either.
I would run up some stairs.
I and Dr. X would just go come back down.
Okay.
Sorry. There you go. Superman is easy meat.
Easy.
You're going to end it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, dang.
That's another one in the bag, chaps.
Another one.
Anything to add?
Not really.
Right, okay, you can get contact us on the old Gmail. It's just desert whales@gmail.com is at Desert Whales on Twitter, at the Desert Whales on Instagram.
Yep.
And we're on Facebook, just search for the Desert Whales. And
That's it.
There we go. Right, well, we'll see you again next time.
Thanks.
Bye.